How many of you are familiar with the situation in the west side of town with the autistic young man in a Ford dealership? How many of you are aware of it? Maybe a fourth of you? Make that story short, an autistic young man had worked for, I think, this dealership, so they knew his... probably his strengths and his flaws, and then a salesman encouraged him to purchase a different vehicle, and he signed and ended up owing a lot of money on a vehicle, and what's the rest of the story? It got repossessed. The last time I knew, I don't think he had any vehicle at all. He had apparently traded in a Mustang he had and ended up not having a vehicle. And this is kind of a watchdog column in the Des Moines Register. And last I heard, the dealership wasn't being very reasonable. Now, if there's a later part of the story and the kid gets his car back that he had or whatever, I hope he gets taken care of. That isn't the situation with Margaret, but my personal feelings, this can happen to a lot of people, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if minorities aren't plagued with this situation a lot more than we are. I just hadn't had a chance to talk to the deacons about some of her needs, and will so after the services. She had hoped to, I think, get Tanika's vehicle and get here, but I maybe should have looked around. I don't think Margaret's here, is she? talk to me privately, and I can give you some more information, but I think the church probably needs to help her. Choosing a subject. I try to always have a subject that I'm thinking of and developing in a talk. I think the elders met, and they didn't put me on the program for a while when I was when I got diagnosed, and then when I actually did end up on the program, because we thought that would be plenty of time for me to be better, was really when I was probably worse, but that talk worked out okay. I respect my son's critiquing of my talks, and I don't have a clue on what's my better points and what's not my better points. And I kind of said something to John Lee one time about, you know, I felt some fire in that talk. That was a good talk. He said he didn't have a clue either on when he was giving one of his better talks, or, you know, when it was important for him to do some strong Bible thumping and come out strong on an issue. I just was appreciative of that talk he'd done, and so I sent off an email to him after he'd left and said how much I appreciated that, and he responded by basically saying, you know, I don't know when it's one of my better talks either. Well, hopefully this morning, something that wasn't the financial situation that this autistic young man got in that made my blood boil or caught my attention. But it was an editorial in the Des Moines Register. And on Obit's page, I kind of read through headlines. If it sounds a little bit interesting, I read the whole thing. And someone was upset because, you know, what's going through. And I don't really want to talk about the Defense of the Marriage Act, or I don't want to talk about homosexuality. But someone had written in, and they had used a Bible reference, scripture passage, and this person wrote in railing that, you know, in the nerve of somebody trying to use the Bible to give some clarity to some issue in today's legislature or the thread that was going through at that time in the Obits page. Not Obits. The opinion page. Anyway, I tried to look through my papers and find the original writing. I would like to read it to you to see exactly, for you to see exactly what this person was writing. Person apparently wasn't a Bible believer, and thought someone really had the nerve to use Bible to try to influence today's public opinion. So many times I see in the paper how someone's writing in something and they are talking about the Bible and saying the Bible doesn't preach against this, the Bible doesn't say this. And if they do say the Bible says this, well, this wasn't Christ saying this, or this wasn't God speaking. They're determined that, you know, even if it does say this, that the writer wasn't the Messiah or wasn't God. So many times I see this, and that basically people don't know what the Bible says, but they are able to get in and get their opinion printed. I've fired a few things through one time and never have gotten anything published. I don't know. It seems like it gets full awful fast if you're doing a 2 cents worth. I've given up on trying to ever get anything in there, and maybe that's just for the better. I've done a lot of things on Facebook and written on there, and then decide not to send it. And it's like some of my emails. I was with Tim and Ann. I'd write emails and I never heard back. I probably was sending it to the wrong address. I did finally get my email that I think probably Shirley has on the back. I got that finally after I got my computer back from picking up the computer by the screen corner and breaking it. So I'm back in full computer mode. But back to this opinion column. People not wanting to use the Bible. I kind of understand maybe some of their feelings, but I'm a believer. And once a month, I think I can do it, 4-H, if not something other else, like I went to a veterans meeting here a few months ago, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance. How many people say this daily in school anymore? You do it in your school? Good. But I just think, every time I say this, I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. When I say that, it always, you know, it's still there. They've tried to take it off the money, and they probably tried to take it out of the pledge, but so far we're still saying one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Under God. To me, I know some of the founding fathers weren't all that righteous people. But our pledge that we say to the flag, that we wave so gloriously on certain occasions, sometimes even daily, it's under God when we think of that flag and what it stands for. So God has His feelings about how we should use His Word. And like I said, people don't know what's in the Bible. People don't study the Bible. People don't know. And to me, it just binds over what God's Word is trying to tell us when we say that Pledge of Allegiance. That means I need to understand what God has in store, what God wants for us, because this nation is considered by hopefully most, if we put it up for a vote, that this nation is under God. We need to pay attention to what God has to say. But through apathy and through our busy lives, we're probably not as vocal as we should be to those around us. Maybe we don't hit the opinion pages as much as we should and write in as much as we should. Most of us probably think, you know, just trying to raise a Christian family is as much as we can do. We all get sidetracked. We're all in a very busy life. When it came time, I knew when elders of the program this very last time that I was going to be on the first Lord's Day in June. And that is a very busy time for me this time, and I knew that. But my message basically is that, you know, that we can kind of, we've been hearing a lot of inspirational things and advice because of all the graduations. Got a bunch of good kids that are graduating from high school, commencing their life without as restrictive a situation, environment for learning. They're going on and specializing in what's hopefully will give them a good livelihood. My advice for you is, I guess the same advice I give myself, is that when situations come up, we build our life around God. We maybe it is a tough time. Last night there was, we had the party. It was like Sid's party. It was beautiful weather, a great time to be outdoors, and people were celebrating last night. Nick's graduating from high school, and the only thing that was coming to me last night was, the Jews are a lot smarter about this. They do it at kind of age 13, and they've got those kids that invest that money until they get ready for college. Maybe they have graduation parties too. They probably do. But it was just about the only thing of inspiration that came to me last night that I hadn't already thought of. This morning, a few other things came to me. And I have a deal I kind of make with God. He lets me pick the subject, and I let His scriptures finish it off. So I get the topic, I look at the passages, and He finishes it off with scripture, or I read His scripture, His thoughts on the matter. When I was talking about the opinion pages, a lot of people want to think they're enlightened. This person, I'm sure, felt he was the enlightened one in wanting the Bible to have nothing to do with current things that the legislature might be considering. He was not recognizing God at all. He felt he was probably enlightened, and the rest of us were totally wrong and didn't have it right because we do believe in the Bible, and we'd like some of Christianity to be reflected in the laws that are made. I was thinking of course, Romans. We're studying that in the auditorium on Sunday morning, but that's where I needed to go. Not that I'm wanting to elaborate too much on what we'll be studying in a few weeks, but we know just automatically when we're talking about government issues and so forth and how things should be, we automatically think of Romans 13, which I will read. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, and an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And going on with a little different topic, the first part was responsibility towards higher powers. We have responsibility towards neighbors, that I'd like to use some of God's word to through Paul. Help us have a better experience here on this earth. Begin with verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We think of governing powers, we think of God's plan here, and we probably are a little puzzled, aren't we? We know of, it's been called what, the Arab Spring. A lot of leaders are losing their position that they've held for much as 40 years. New governments are forming. We're not sure of what they're going to be. We also think of something local that happened this week. It's sure dominated the news. A young woman is killed down near Ottumwa, and she was 4 or 5 months along. She's pregnant, and I didn't pay a lot of attention to this story, but you know, it was just sad knowing a woman was killed who was I think she was a police officer or had some capacity working for the police, and it didn't mention anything about her marriage or anything. I just thought maybe it's a single woman was going to have a child, and then later in the week we find out that most likely I know you're not guilty until proven so, but most likely her husband killed her. How sad. And the reason I bring that up is not because she was in, justice, but I think he'd been hired also in the justice system. So not just in America do we have some corruptness in those higher powers that God allows, but I guess immediately I think of what's going on in Syria. We've seen the Arab Spring be successful and other countries, from Indonesia clear to the other side of Africa, I think. So many governments toppling and hopefully more of a democracy, hopefully a better treatment of their people. But when we think of Syria, I'm kind of baffled. I happened to watch the Barbara Walters. Didn't he want an interview with her? And I watched that, and it was all nice and sweet, and it's just like, you know, here I'm the head honcho here in this country, but these people, the military, they're doing all these things like he didn't have control. Well, I think you got to say when you're in that position that he is in Syria, that the buck should stop there. I think he is responsible. He was just trying to pull the wool over, or he has the audacity to say things are the way they are, but they're probably going to end up in a pretty bad civil war over there. A lot more loss of life is going to happen. So, God's allowing this. This is God's higher power. So that's the puzzling that we might experience when we first see those first few verses. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and authorities that exist are appointed by God. Is that fair? Sometimes we have the government that we deserve. I don't know if that's the situation there in times past. Maybe God's allowing it because a lot of those people are not godly people. I don't know why God allows some of these things. But I think the importance of it is there has to be a universality, whether there's bad government or good government. God wants, he wants his followers, he wants Christians to be able to live in any kind of society, any kind of government, and not just the best ones or the most pleasure, beautiful places to live. So there's kind of a generic thought here that, man needs a government. It'd be nice if we didn't and everything got done the way it should, but there needs to be some kind of organization. If it's not going to happen, if just people move where they want and live there and do anything they want, you need some form of government. I think that's basically what God's saying here. And sometimes you get the government you deserve, sometimes you get a lot better than you deserve. And I think we're very fortunate, not that it's perfect, to live in the country that we do. Basically, God's Paul is writing in the second verse that, wherever you are, respect that authority is from God. And so that kind of leads you to, what happens then? Does God ever want you to participate in an uprising, or does he want you to participate in trying to change things? Things that, are good to discuss, but we're not going to get it done this morning. It talks about rulers being terror to good work, not a terror to good works. Most cases, that's the situation. Most cases, we can live our lives so that we can have some degree, some quality of life, and even in a bad government, if you kind of fly under the radar, you can exist, and the people that you are closest to you, maybe in secret, you can talk to, and you can be you can exist and maybe have a pretty decent life. We don't get out of paying taxes. Christ paid taxes with his apostles, and we need to be able to do that also. Doesn't mean you can't protest. Go through an orderly way. People want to completely forget God. Remember Madeline Murray O'Hara, wasn't it? She really fought. There's a lot of things that she was able to change because she fought. She was an atheist. She didn't want to have anything to do with God. We don't have that choice, really. You either pay now or you pay later. Sometimes both. Last part of the chapter didn't really deal with so much with higher powers, but how we react to people around us. So I'll wrap this up. And starting at 11, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So many of those things I thought that they could be come up in situations that higher powers would be involved. We talk about some of these things. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Walking properly, revelry and drunkenness. So many gatherings can cause people, stir people up to do things that they shouldn't do. Think of the Court Avenue area and how, for a long time this one kid was being accused of doing serious damage to that runner. And finally, justice has been given to both the runner and the person wrongly accused to start with. But, places that have alcohol are good places to avoid a lot of times because people aren't always just themselves. With some beers under their belt, they can be people that will cause you harm, cause other people harm. And definitely you don't want to be doing that because of our responsibility not to be that example is talking about of powers that be being a terror to you. Behave yourself and you're less likely to be caught up in some kind of penalty. But the last two verses, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy. A lot of those things, licentiousness and lewdness, are covered in what these people are trying to say is okay and get upset when people use Bible scriptures. And last, this kind of leads to an invitation, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fill its lusts. I think most of us probably have something that bothers us along this line. Most of us here have put on Jesus Christ, but we're still bothered by the things that were bothering us before we were Christians. And we're trying to use Jesus Christ to help battle those addictions or those thorns in our flesh. Paul had his, you and I have ours. And we're not to give in to the lustful things. I can use food. I don't have to use sex for this. I can use food. It's just so many things that, you know, am I eating to sustain life, or am I glorifying? I mean, it's so many ways you can put cheese and butter and glorify a lot of food. And I'm not eating to live. I'm living to eat. Other things. You're going to go farther in this life if you put Christ first. Like I said, as far as giving this talk, I knew it was going to be a busy time. I wasn't going to switch. It was just something I need to do at this time. It was a great time for our family in the last few weeks. It's time to always keep God first in our life and build our life around God. So graduates, as you go, make sure you're honoring God and remembering His Son's death every Lord's Day if you're not with us. Be there. Be there where people are trying to worship as they need to, scripturally, using scripture and not some personal catechism or something to worship, but use scripture, God's word. That will keep you safe. Bad things do happen to good people. We want you to be saved. We want you to be with Christ and God. We want to be this group in heaven someday. If you haven't started on that, we urge you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. I can't see any way that you can get to God except through the Son. If you're old enough to realize that possibility, that capability to go to God through Jesus Christ, you need to be washed with waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. There's others of you that we can help. Maybe you've wandered. You're not as tight with God as you need to be. Let us help you. I think the elders are fairly reasonable men, and so are the deacons and others. We're a reasonable group of people to worship with. We'll work with you in your handicaps or your problems. There's a way to do it through God, and we all need to be right with God. So come as we sing the song, whatever we can do for you.